This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Timothy Harfield from Jasper, Georgia. And you're listening to a special Horse Husbands Only edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 26th, episode 1618, brought to you today by the Shaken Fork.
I am a manly man who lives a manly life in my manly house with my manly wife.
And now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode starring Timothy Harfield of HorseHubby.com and America's Horse Husband, Glenn the Geek. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Horse Husbands episode. I know we missed it there in December, but we're back, and Timothy's back. It's good to talk to you. Happy New Year, Timothy.
Happy New Year to you, too, Glenn. We're starting the year off with a bang and with a gigantic lie.
It is?
A huge lie.
Yeah, what's the
lie? We just said this is a special Horse Husbands Only edition of Horses in the Morning. You know what? It's not actually, is it?
No, it's upside down. We're doing something we have never done before, ever. There has never been a female voice on this show until today.
No, but like, I'm really excited about this. You know, we have some spouses. So spouses of horse people. Traditionally, we talk to husbands of horse women. But today on the show, we have the wives of horse men. And, you know, since I started the website, horsehubby.com, Glenn, you know, I've always thought about a horse hubby as being something that is not gender specific. Right? So, you know, you don't have to be a horse husband to be a horse hubby. You can be a horse wife and be a horse hubby, which is why the sort of tagline for the website is for people who love horse people.
Right. That's a good way to put it, for people who love horse people, actually. And that's what we're doing today. We have three of those people on. We have three of the ladies on, the horse wives on, to talk a little bit about what's different in their life. As opposed to what we've been talking about, for the last year with the horse husbands, you know, how is it for horse wives? Is it the same? Do they go through the same things we do? Well, we're going to find out in the roundtable a little bit later in the show. This show episode is recorded like it always is. I wanted to mention right at the top that we have a special Australian episode for you tomorrow. And as today's, this is not live, we are traveling. So it'll be up on the feed tomorrow on Friday. And it's we have some great guests on the Australian episode tomorrow. One girl you're going to want to hear about who actually has, get this, Timothy, as one of her adventures, she has ridden and walked on the wing of an airplane. She has done wing walking from takeoff to landing. And she's going to talk a little bit about that tomorrow, too. So tune in then. Monday, we'll be here back live on Horses in the Morning from ADA, from the American Equestrian Trade Association, looking at all the new products that we find over the weekend. So we're looking forward to having you back then. Now, today, we have to talk horse husbands. So, Timothy, what are we talking about first?
Oh, we could talk. There's tons of stuff that we could talk about first. First of all, sort of, I want to talk about, you know, so today, which is not today, right? So this is now today, the...
Yeah, we're recording a week ahead. Yeah.
Right. So today, I don't even know what day it is today. Today's the 19th. But like today, so, and I'll talk about this later in the show, Alisa got sort of not struck, not kicked, but she got sort of clipped by a horse and was a little bit... It happens, right?
No, it happens to all of us. Did she get it in the leg?
It's something that I, like, it's sort of par for the course if you're a horse person. For me, whenever I'm walking with a horse, I'm always having it at arm's length and my body is stretched out because I know in my mind that a horse is mostly aware of other feet that are not theirs, but I know that sometimes they get distracted and they forget. And so I've always am terrified that the horse is going to come down on my foot. And I know that a horse has a lot of weight. and you put that weight on steel, and even if they're stepping gently, that's a huge amount of pressure on some very fine bones. And so I'm terrified. It's like my worst nightmare. And so we'll talk about that a little later in the show. What happened today, though, which is worse than horses, is the dentist.
The horse dentist or the people dentist?
You know, okay, so the last dentist that I saw was a horse dentist. Right? So, which is bad because I have not been to the dentist. And like, I told a white lie. I was at the dentist and I told the dentist that it had been maybe 8 years since I've been there, which is bad. It's terrible. Right? And we should be going to the dentist every 6 months. The horse, for goodness sake, the horse goes to the dentist. Whatever it is, 6 months, every 6 months or a year, I don't even know, but like way more regularly than 8 years. So that much time, it was probably for me more like 12. What I learned is, and Elisa went too, and we both got our like wrists slapped. It's important to floss. So, you know, if it's important for you to take care of your horse's teeth, they go to the dentist. Every time you look at your horse's teeth, you should think of your own. And know that there is important, and floss. You know, we walk into our bathroom every day, and our dental floss is right there on the counter, staring us in the face every day, and we don't use it. Got to do it.
Do you know?
Got to do it.
You know, that's funny you say that. I thought we were the only ones, because we moved 10 times in the last 14 years, so we were never in a place long enough to get a regular dentist, right? So there would be times when, you know, if we moved 1 or 2 years apart, we just didn't go because you just didn't ever got around to it when you moved that often.
And new dentists are scary.
Oh, they are.
You know,
because they tell you
to figure out your,
you have to do everything, right? You walk into a new dentist and it's like, you have 45 cavities and we have to replace your entire mouth. Is that what they did to you?
Yeah. It's exactly what they did today. So I'm like joking. Hey, can you count the number of cavities I have on two hands? And they had to think about it. And they're like, we're counting. We'll let you know.
And then they want to do them all at once. And you're like, no, I want to do one or two at a time.
No, let's do it this stage. Yeah. We'll do like one part of my mouth, one. It's just, you know, it's something that you got to do. You don't really, you get old. And as you get old, you got to take care of this stuff. And like, you know, and like you say, you're young, you're moving, like I'm young, you know, in school, you sort of forget about it. But like, Glenn, I've been working for years with insurance that I haven't been using. There's no reason why I haven't gone to the dentist except just total laziness.
Yeah.
You know, but again, it's an example of, you know, we and our wives, right, take far. It's just over. This is a constant theme on the show, right, Glenn? The horse people, they take far better care of their horses than they do themselves. And so it's incumbent upon us as horse husbands to make sure we have to be to our wives what our wives are to their horses.
That's
and
a good
make
way
sure
to
that
put
they
it.
Go to the
That's a good way to put right. it, actually.
Absolutely.
And then when they tell you, no, I don't have time, what do you say?
We have an appointment. we're going. Oh, but the dentist was so good. And so this, and the dentist made my wife responsible for me because she knew how marriage worked. Right. So the last thing that they said to my wife privately, my wife told me about this was, and make sure your husband flosses, you know, which I like because it makes my wife responsible for me to go to the dentist, which in turn makes her responsible to go to the dentist. So it's mutually reinforcing. So our New Year's resolution is to stop just looking at the floss and to start actually picking the stuff up.
Well, that's a good plan.
I think so. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes, and we'll check in a couple of years from now and let you know how frequently we've actually visited the dentist. But no, it's that's the thing. So hey, horses, dentists, it's all terrifying. It all hurts.
You know, I do feel guilty sometimes, actually, because we don't have dental insurance, so that's always been, okay, we're going to the dentist, you know, we have to kind of force ourselves to go, because it costs us $400, $500 every time. And so you know, that's kind of a deterrent, too, when you don't have dental insurance. But, you know, it's funny, because we'll spend $300 on the horses and not think about it to get their teeth done.
Absolutely. I feel like children... And this is something that horse people have to talk about, because people are people, right? Regardless of whether you're a horse person or not. But like you think about kids, and I have a feeling like kids, and I've been thinking about this, kids force people, adults, to grow up, not just because you're like, but like you have to set a good example. You have to make sure your kids go to the dentist. And so you end up taking yourself to the dentist, right? Your kids have to become socialized. And so that is incentive for you to actually step foot off the property and talk to other people. I think, you know, kids force people to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do, maybe in a positive way.
I never thought about that, but you're right. And here we are, two couples without kids, right? So we're the example of what happens when you don't have them.
If I had kids, I would be going to the dentist every 6 months to set a positive example, because my kids are there anyway.
Now, the one thing that we have over the people with kids is we don't get sick as often.
Speak for yourself. Well, actually, I've gotten better, but up until recently, I worked in higher education, Glenn.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's the thing. You were around people, and that's the problem.
Just avoid them.
That's right.
Entirely.
That's why neither one of us leave the house now. You don't have that problem anymore.
It's perfect.
This is not what I thought we were going to be talking about today.
No, but we can talk about horses and being a horse husband.
No, that's okay. We've done that enough. Let's do this. Why don't we just go to the ladies? Let's just go to the ladies. And let's chat with them and find out about that. Before we do that, though, I got to tell you about something. And that's the Shake and Fork and the Flex and Fork. You know, it is a nasty winter in a lot of parts of this country. It is just cold. It's miserable. People are out there shoveling frozen poop and breaking those cheap forks you buy at the feed store. They're falling into pieces and there's tines missing. And when you have a fork with a broken tine, every poop goes right through that hole. It's just it's a magnet, and it goes right through that hole. Well, don't stop that. Just don't buy that crap anymore. Don't buy those cheap forks. Go out and get yourself a Flexin' Fork or a Shakin' Fork. If you have three or less stalls to clean every day, get yourself a Flexin' Fork. If you have more than that, get yourself a Shakin' Fork. If you just want to be one of the cool kids, go ahead and get the Shakin' Fork anyway. But these don't break. You're going to, for every 10 of those others you buy, you're going to have this one for years. So if you're breaking forks and tines all the time on horse poop, go ahead, you know, change it up. Go get a fork that's not going to break. Go to equitymfg.com or go to shakenfork.com and buy one that won't break. Now, don't believe us. Timothy and I have talked about this for a year now, or years now, actually, on the Horse Radio Network. This is what some of the people I found that did reviews on this product. And Peggy said, "We love this fork. My husband is always breaking the other brands and has become costly throughout the year to replace. Even with the freezing temperatures, this fork has truly helped us and hasn't broken. We'll never buy another brand again." So that's for the Flexin' Fork. Here's another one. Ron said, "I've been using Muck Forks for 26 years. This is the first fork I've used that I feel minimizes my workload." Now, he's talking about the Shakin' Fork. "I have, it's balanced well when I pick up the pile, regardless of how wet it is." And he goes on and on to talk about this fork. And he says, "Without a doubt, the best fork I've ever owned." And then one more. Linda says, "Received my fine tine manure fork and put it to immediate use, re-cleaning my horse's stall. What a time-saving tool. I think I must have cleaned this stall spick and span in about half the time as it does using the regular cheap forks." So she goes on and says, "It saves my back and my shoulder from unnecessary strain. Worth the investment." And she has the Shakin' Fork. So, you know, don't take it from us. Don't believe what we say. Believe what people who use them every day say. It's worth the money. You know, you buy the Shakin' Fork, and yes, it is more expensive than any other fork you're going to find out there, but it's less expensive than going to the dentist once. So that's a perfect example. Thank you, Timothy. It's less expensive than going to the dentist once, and it's going to last you years. It'll last you a lot longer than the dentist did. So go ahead and get yourself a Shakin' Fork. Get yourself a Flexin' Fork. Make your life easier this winter. Don't buy the crappy ones anymore. Go to equitymfg.com or shakenfork.com, or just Google it. You'll find it. Well, Timothy, it's now time to start our round table. And as we talked about earlier in the show, we're turning things upside down today. We have the horse wives. These are women that married horse husbands, but aren't necessarily horsey themselves. And we dipped into our auditor pool to find these women. And I'm excited to hear it from the other side. It's the first time ever, ladies, that we've had a woman on the Horse Husbands episode. So,
and Glenn, I'm really excited about this format. Since the very beginning of horsehubby.com, when I started the website, I always thought, you know, people always talk about horse husbands, but it really is sort of horse spouses, you know, and much, there are a lot of similarities between what it's like to be the husband of a horse woman and to be the wife of a horse man, I presume. So I'm really looking forward to getting the female perspective on what it's like to be with a horse person.
We'll see if they have the same problems we do.
The smell.
All right. So now we're doing something new here. And before I can even ask you and introduce you individually, we have to get you guys to say I do to our brand new Horse Husband Guest Pledge. And Timothy will explain it and then have you and give you the pledge.
I'm explaining the pledge.
Yes.
So this is a new thing. It's new for me. I've seen this pledge about 5 minutes ago, and I think it's really great.
And
there's my introduction.
It's taken kind of after the Red Green Show for anybody old enough to remember that. So here we go.
Well, it's not even old enough. See, I'm Canadian, Glenn. So like the Red Green Show is really near and dear to my heart, and so to see you come up with a Red Green inspired pledge really sort of excited me. So, ladies. Do you promise to tell the truth and spill the beans on your horse-loving spouse, even if it lands you on the couch for a week? Say, I do.
I do.
I do.
I only heard two.
I do.
Oh, there we go. Good. Three. Yeah, there. Now you can stay on the show now, ladies. I hope your couch is comfortable. Let's introduce Gretchen Watkins first. She is the wife of Auditor Rad Watkins, who is very active in the auditor room. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to be with the horsey dude.
Well, we originally met in graduate school, and I was getting my engineering degree, and he was working in a forestry. And I think he always refers to it as the bait and switch because I was an engineer, and he was hoping that I would fund all operations. Little did I know that meant horse operations at that time. First place we moved after we got married and out of grad school was Idaho. And what all people do when they move to Idaho is we get a little ranchette. And he wanted to fill that ranchette with horses. And so after making friends with our neighbors who were sort of backyard breeders, we bought a very green one-year-old. And Rad then proceeded to go to the library in Idaho and get every single video you could possibly imagine and essentially learn how to train and work with horses. And I was so impressed with his diligence that I agreed ultimately to another horse because we only had a goat to be our horse's friend, and we decided that was not the best idea. So
that's how it starts, by the way. That's how it starts. It starts with a goat, and then it goes to 12 horses.
That's what I was thinking. Start small. It was, you know, a green horse, so we didn't have to buy tack at the time. Was, you know, my very conservation-minded sense that, you know, nothing would really build, that he would basically kind of get bored of the horses and they would just live out there in the yard and finally we could say goodbye to the horses. But that was not the case at all. So we have progressed now. You know, like I said, I was an engineer, so I did not want to stop working when we had children. And Rad, who, when I met him, was basically tracking grizzly bears and all the sort. And so I think when I domesticated him into family life, I think the horses were his only reprieve from, you know, the day-to-day grind. And so we kind of kept it in our lives. And when we had children, he really, I mean, both of us decided, but it was that he wanted to stay home with the children. And so our children were training horses at, you know, before they could even crawl. He would be out there with a child in a sling on his chest, and they would hold the whip, and around and around and around pen they would go. So, you know, I think all women kind of accept some sort of hobby in their husband's lives to kind of keep them, you know, sane? Going in life.
Sane? Can we use that word, sane?
That's exactly what men say.
Exactly.
Everyone's wife should have a hobby to keep them going in their lives. You know, I'll let them have the horses, but inevitably, you know, it starts with one horse and then it goes out of control. It's a slippery slope. There's no such thing as just one horse.
Hey, I may have heard this, Gretchen. Is this true that your mother once said, did you know what he was going, that he was going to be like this, referring to the horses and the goats and the chickens and the...
It is very true. I mean, you know, he was a suburban kid from Chicago. Like, it was not a known deal. I mean, we should have had ideas because he, you know, was currently tracking grizzly bears at the time. So
yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm actually happy that horses were...
Actually, the horses might be, the grizzly bears might be safer than the horses, to be honest. All right, let's go on. Let's meet our next guest, and I chuckle when I introduce her, and she knows why. Jennifer Johnson's on here, and of course, she is wife to the notorious auditor, Jerry Johnson, who, if you're in the auditor room at all, you certainly know. Hey, Jennifer.
I'm so sorry in advance.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Can we just get the apologies out of the way now?
I have to do that because you all know what he does.
Yeah.
I've learned to live with it, and I just kind of walk past and keep going. But when I first met Jerry, I had no idea that he was a horseman. No idea. I knew he loved his helicopters. I knew he loved his motorcycles and music. That's fine. Like you said, we learn to accept and move on with their hobbies to keep them grounded, you know? But what I learned over the years of being married to him, when he gets excited about something, it becomes part of him. So when we discussed horses, I've always loved horses. I had a lot to do with horses when I was younger. We had discussed it a few times, maybe someday getting a piece of property and getting a couple of horses. You know, we have six kids, so we didn't want to take on all that responsibility just yet. But one day he calls me and he's at work and he says, hey, I found this beautiful Belgian. I'd like to go take a look at him. Okay, we'll go look at him. So I drive an hour and a half and we meet up there and we take a look at this horse that he has already looked at and made up his mind on, right? I said, yeah, he's wonderful. He's very sweet. He was great with kids. So I went on home thinking, we're going to think about this. The very next day I say, hey, have you thought any more about the horse? He says, yeah, we're getting it. And that was that. We were horse owners. within a couple of months, I want to say 2 or 3 months, we had another horse come up. A friend of his was going through a divorce and needed somewhere for her horse to go. And then we had two horses. Absolutely love them both. Wouldn't trade them for the world. And if he had to have any hobby, I'm definitely glad it's horses. Because our kids have absolutely enjoyed every second that we've had with these boys.
That's terrific.
So I'll take it over anything any day.
That's true. I'm glad to hear that because you don't have a choice. now we're going to go to our last panelist today. Her name is Marissa. Is it Kreidler?
It's Kreidler.
Yeah. Okay. Marissa Kreidler, who's married to Scott Kreidler. And Marissa has a little bit different story, which was one of the reasons I was so glad you were on tonight. So tell us your little bit different take on it.
Well, I kind of funked myself
I am a horse person. I started riding when I was 4, and I've had horses my entire life. I had taken a break from riding after my divorce and all of that. So I'd taken a break for a couple of years, and my husband, and I didn't happen to mention the horse history to him, you know, because I tell him that sort of thing. And then we eventually got married, and I decided I needed to get a horse again. But being the smart wife I was, I thought, you know, you can't really complain about the horse expense if I get him a horse. So I went out and I sought out and I got him this absolutely lovely 5, almost 6-year-old, sane quarter horse mare. And she is just, I mean, she's the best. And I bought him a nice Western saddle and I sent him out trail riding. And starting off, basically, you know, I joked that Roxy called the shots. You know, Scott would come in and he'd be like, well, I was going to ride down by the pond, but Roxy decided she wasn't going to today, so we didn't. And I would just smile and, you know, and this went on for a while. And then he decided that he didn't like his Western saddle anymore. And he got an English saddle, you know, just an all-purpose saddle. It was, you know, one of my hand-me-downs, but he really liked it. So dumped the Western saddle. Then he started taking lessons and then he started learning to jump. And meanwhile, you know, I'm doing dressage and I'm competing in dressage. And there's my husband taking jumping lessons and doing his own thing. We didn't have him at the same barn even. And he's just continuing and continuing. And then I realized, you know, as I'm pulling my horse's, my husband's horse's mane to get her ready to go to, you know, some competition as the spring comes and that sort of thing, that what has happened to my life? You know, what happened to the husband that was helping to polish the dust off the boots before I went into the ring? I'm doing this for him. So a little bit backwards, but yeah, he's getting into eventing.
So, you're gonna be the groom from now on. Timothy knows all about that. You're gonna be Timothy, is what's gonna happen.
Yeah. As long as he comes to my show still and occasionally helps me out, because, you know, I still do the dressage, but I have one saddle. He has 3. You know?
It's like the way to solve garlic breath, right? If you know you have garlic breath, the best way to solve it is by feeding garlic to your beloved until it backfires and your beloved starts eating garlic every day, all day long.
Yeah, that's exactly basically what happened to me.
All right, ladies. Well, now, one of the questions I got from a bunch of auditors that PM'd me with this one is they all want to know, and we'll start with Gretchen, they want to know if your horse husbands, your spouses, force you to listen to our shows. So, Gretchen, are you forced to listen to us?
I am. In fact, right before he left tonight, because I had to push him out of the house, he was playing the episodes and quizzing me on names, because every morning when we wake up to work out, I get the lowdown on the latest of whatever is happening in the horse radio network. So, indeed, I am forced to participate in the community.
That's like spousal torture, Timothy. I think it's grounds for divorce.
Like, you're forced, but inevitably, you know, I hear these stories, you know, spouses are forced to listen to the Horse Radio Network. And then you hear of it, of, you know, these same spouses who were forced initially become sort of addicted. And they sort of, what have you gained from exposure to this wacky world?
Well, definitely the biggest thing is to have a connection with my husband and that he has people in a community to listen to and talk with. And, you know, it's better than listening about work. And, you know, it's interesting because I love the horses. I do. It's just, I don't love them in the realm of -20 and having to feed them. So it brings the appreciation of the horses in a way that it doesn't have to be -20 and, you know, schlepping bales and stuff like that.
It's so true, right? If you're with a horse person and you don't know anything about horses and you can't talk about horses, you quickly learn that you don't have anything to talk about.
Right.
That's so, right. So to provide you with a really excellent middle ground. And then, you know, you start with that middle ground and eventually, you know, you can make connections to other parts of your lives. But that really ends up quickly becoming a very sort of central theme in any sort of horse-sea relationship, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he really got obsessed about horse hooves for a long time.
Oh, geez. And,
I mean,
my dog is
the anatomy of the horse foot is just not something. But, you know, when he brings in the different personalities, then it makes it a little more interesting.
Well, I want to go to Jennifer because I'm interested. Here, Jennifer. I know. I'm sorry. I laugh every time I'm going to you, Jennifer, but I just never know what's happening in Jerry Johnson's house. So, Jennifer, does he force you to listen? And I met Jennifer. She was at Rolex last year with the kids. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you only get three of the kids that time.
Yeah.
Now, he really doesn't unless he is picking on Jamie or Mary. That, you know, when the songs that he does, or when he said something that he knows is going to get their pants in a twist, he'll make me come listen because he wants me to hear Jamie's response to it or Mary's response. But that's really the only time he forces it on me. And I enjoy it anyway, so it's all good.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad he doesn't make you suffer.
Well, what I'm hearing here is that not only should everybody be listening to the Horse Radio Network, whether they're a horse person or a non-horse person, everyone should be an auditor if for no other reason than to see what Jerry's going to write.
That's true.
I live in the house with him. I love him better than anything, but he never stops.
That is true.
He picks on our poor kids nonstop. Our oldest girl, Olivia, he calls her jerk face, and it's gotten to where it's such a habit that he says it lovingly, and she answers to it lovingly.
She's going to grow up in therapy for 25 years.
Oh yeah.
Marissa, do you listen?
Of course I listen. You know, because being the horse person myself, I listen in the morning. Scott, however, actually doesn't listen. And that's mainly because he's a teacher. So he is out of the house at 6:30 in the morning and he can't really listen in the classroom, you know? And when he gets home, you know, there's stuff to do. We've got a lot of dogs. We've got horses. We've got stuff. And then, well, a little bit of TV and a sleep. So,
I'll forgive him.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, you know.
I'll forgive him. But
I feel bad.
We have a lot of teachers that listen, though. Just throwing that out there. Just, you know.
Yeah, but probably not in the classroom.
We have one that actually makes her class listen.
Oh, that would be awesome.
She teaches English as a second language, Timothy, and she makes her class listen to learn English. I said, if they're learning English from me, they're going to be in rough shape. That's going to be bad.
It makes sense in a very particular kind of community and makes no sense in another.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, ladies, one of the questions... One of the things that always comes up, and the auditors wanted to know the answer to this, I want to know the answer too, is we as horse husbands are always complaining about the mess that horse wives make. They stink all the time. They never do anything in the house. Their cars are a wreck and piled with stinky stuff. Is that the case with you, and do you mind that? We'll go to Jennifer first.
Well... To be honest, it's not so bad as far as the horses go. I'm so used to having all the kids around and Jerry's mess from all his comic books and our dog. It doesn't really faze me.
Okay.
Just one more thing to clean up.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, after so long, it's another thing.
Yeah, it's just
thing.
Like whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Gretchen.
I have honestly made him strip outside the door and hosed him off because it drives me crazy. Hay everywhere. And yeah, the mess is just, I have made it so that there is a substantial walk to make it up to the house just so that he could brush off by the time he gets up here. So yes, it's something I struggle with.
The struggle is so real.
The struggle is real.
And what's his car look like? Is it a disaster? He's like a realtor or something, isn't he?
He is good about the car, but only being a realtor is what makes him be good about it. And so he vacuums it out pretty much weekly.
Well, that's good to hear. That's more than most of our wives. and Marissa? Well, you're a horse person. This one doesn't even count with you. You're probably the messy one.
Oh, no, it's compounded. Imagine it by two. We don't invite the family to the house. Friends, they're welcome to come over anytime. But family, nope, because if my mother-in-law saw the state of the house with the mud and the boots and everything, it would just not go over very well. And both of our vehicles are wrecked.
Okay, so is it the fact that all horse people are dirty, dirty, dirty? And by the way, I'll take a dirty horse person over like a dirty, you know, person who deals with carnivorous animals or cows any day. Like, I think that, you know, the smell of hay and horse urine is like far preferable to a lot of other things. In fact, I think it's quite lovely because, you know, I met my wife and I used to smell on her all the time and I have these really strong positive associations. But when you look at horse people, do you think male horse people are stinkier and dirtier and messier than female horse people, or the reverse? Or do you think it's just a horse people problem?
Anybody?
Well, this is Gretchen, and I would have to say that no matter what, a man has to be grosser than a woman. And so therefore, a horse man has to be grosser than a woman. Horse person.
It's not the answer I was expecting, but...
Yeah.
I am a whole lot more particular about things than my husband. I would definitely say my vehicle, I think, well, maybe not at the moment, but is ordinarily cleaner than his. And, you know, the barn is, of course, spotless, but that's because we are mostly horse women at the barn, and that is where we put our cleaning energy. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
Brad tries
to
get me to...
dirty people.
I was at the grocery store the other day, and of course, all the horse people are in Ocala now. They've all come down. All of Timothy's friends are here. And I was at the grocery store, and there's one grocery store, Publix, that's right where all the horse people go. There was a girl in line in front of me that I'm a horse person. I live with it all the time. I clean stalls. I do all of that. I got out of line and went into two lines over. She stank that bad. It was bad. I don't know what she was doing, rolling in it or what, but it was the worst I've ever had in public.
Did it smell like horse or did it smell like some other?
It smelled like horse, but I mean, it was excessive. You know, I can tell cattle smell too, because I used to.
I can't handle that.
I used to work with cattle farmers, and that was awful. That was terrible. But yeah, this one was bad. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but she definitely needed a bath. But you know, only in a town like Ocala do you get that. And I swear, half the people in that store yesterday were in riding clothes. At least half were in riding clothes, and most of them are buying beer. So that tells you something.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday.
That's when horse people drink.
That's right. Every day. Every day. Timothy, do you want to ask one? Do you have one?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is sort of the theme, this sort of dirty thing. But, like, do your husband, like, wash their hands before they eat?
I hope so. Yeah. I never really thought to look.
I'm going to go with no.
The hands are sort of perpetually, it's pretty tough to tell because there's like a dirt sort of coat that they might be clean, but there's an aura of filth that surrounds them constantly.
See, where I think I got lucky is Jerry can't stand being dirty. So
that's weird.
He washes his hands thoroughly. If he gets something, you know, horse knot on his shirt, he'll go change. So I got lucky where that's concerned.
Well, he's military. Was military, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably gets that from there. I have a question that we've never been able to ask before, and I don't know if you're going to be honest about your answers, but I'll ask, because that's what I do. We've never been able to ask, you know, your husbands are in a field, the horse world, that is 90% women. Do you worry about that? Is there any jealousy? And I don't know if I should ask this question.
Good question.
But it's true. We've never been able to ask this question before. So I don't know if anybody wants to take this one, but does anybody want to take it?
I feel no jealousy. I know most what he's getting into, and
he's got a big mouth and he flirts, and but I know it's all innocent and he's coming home. So
well,
he knows where he's wrong. I don't feel any jealousy, but you know, I mean, he's never given me any reason to. Exactly. So I mean,
this is Gretchen. I was a little nervous about Jamie after, you know, the 50th time of, and then she told the funniest thing. You should have heard it. And, but you know, I live in the world of men and he lives in the world of women. So we come to compromise and joke about our relationships.
I often wondered if Jamie was getting people in trouble at home.
we had a fireside with all of Rad's family sitting around on a summer night, and we listened to the episode where Rad joked with Jamie, and it was quite funny. It was a good time. But luckily, his mom was sitting there, so it makes it pretty innocent.
I don't think you have to worry about Jamie. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
You know, I tell Jamie this all the time. I love her to death, as you guys know. You know, I've been working with her for thousands of episodes, but I could never live with her. So, and she couldn't live with me either. So that's, but she's fun to have on the show. What other questions did you want to ask?
I'm going to
go
a little bit. If we're getting real here,
yeah, okay,
Glenn.
Yeah, get real.
I'm going to go a little bit off script.
Yeah,
but like, and this is also timely for me. So yesterday, you know, I step out of my office and go into the kitchen, and I go behind my wife to give her a hug, and she turns around and she's got a tear running down her face, and because she had been sort of clipped by a horse as she was sort of bringing up whatever five or six horses down from the bottom pasture, and you know, had sort of clipped her ankle, but that's a lot of weight behind some steel, and that hurts, right? Not a catastrophic injury, you know, nothing painful, not catastrophic, fortunately. But when you're around horses, you're constantly at risk, and when your spouse is constantly at this kind of risk, there's always sort of, You sometimes forget about it, but it's always sort of in the back of your mind. Like, how do you deal with the fact that your spouses are constantly dealing with these, you know, 1,000-pound animals with personalities?
Go ahead, Gretchen.
You know, I would say that is my number one worry. You know, we kind of got into horses when we were kind of poor and purchased green horses, and that is ultimately what my husband fell in love with, is, you know,
really dangerous
training
one.
Yeah, these very green horses. And I grew up riding horses that, you know, were well trained and all of those things, and even that was scary. And now having children and so on and so forth, that is definitely my number one worry. But, you know, Rad does follow all the rules with, you know, making sure that he is safe and teaching the children about safety and
helmets.
I think it's something that it's a life lesson. Like, you need to know how to be safe around whatever you are being around, and to have this large animal to kind of remind you at all times is critical in life.
You know, thinking about the safety of your husband, is there anything that he has wanted to do or has started to do or said he was going to do, but you said, you know, this is the line?
I guess it really didn't all set in until he was thrown off of our walker, I guess a little over a year ago. Now I'm absolutely terrified for him to go out on the trails and stuff alone. He hasn't yet, but it does scare me. I'm scared he's going to get out there and get thrown or fall, or but our Belgian likes to run you into trees, you know. That does scare me, but I think he's got it in his head that he's not going to go out there alone, so I can deal with that as long as somebody's with him.
I have a question for you guys, and this is something that always comes up. Horse women don't cook. 99% of them don't cook, so us horse husbands end up being the cooks. How is it in your household, Marissa?
I bet you Rad.
We just choose not to eat. No, the crock pot gets used more than just about any other cooking implement in existence in our house.
Oh, you know what I just bought? I just bought an Instapot. Do any of you have the Instapot yet?
Oh, I've heard of those. I've heard they are amazing.
I haven't gotten it in yet. I get it in tomorrow. I'm so excited to try it out. Jennifer, do you cook? Does he cook?
I do. No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't really let him. We're training our children well, though. We're slowly getting them to where they'll go in there and fix food for us. But no, I do the majority of it, or he calls for Chinese food.
Yeah, you don't want the kids sick all at the same time. That's not good, especially when there's six of them. Hey, Gretchen, how about you?
Yeah, exactly. we're about 50-50, and it's more chop and stir than cook. So
yeah,
we're about 50-50.
There's one thing Jennifer will do, and that's bake. I cannot bake because baking requires like accurate measurement and thought, and I can't do that. So cooking, you just throw whatever in, and hopefully it turns out good at the end. But baking, that's just a science, and that's just way too much for my ADD to kick in the middle. Yeah, and Timothy, you must be the one that cooks, because I don't think your wife does she?
No, we do. Like, Elisa's a really good cook.
Really?
Whoever gets hungry first cooks is sort of how that goes. and I'm typically the one who gets hungry first. But no, we both enjoy cooking. When we met, we cooked together. It was really important at the time, actually. For whatever reason, I was really into hoof to tail eating, and so I was really into cooking a variety of organ meats.
Ugh.
And so I think our second date, Elisa came over, and we decided to make cow heart. And so we learned how to prepare it, and we made it three ways. So that was really fun. So, you know, food and experimental food has always been a really important part of our relationship. But like on a day-to-day basis, it's very much, I'm totally with Gretchen. Chop and stir is like totally the way to go. And surprisingly, just what we've discovered recently is the fact that if you just take fresh ingredients, as it turns out, like a meat and two veg is kind of the easiest thing in the world to do. It takes no time at all. Throw it in the oven, you know, you're done. You don't even have to look at it. Pull it out and you've got a wonderful meal. I think more often than not, we tend to make food more complicated than it needs to be. And it's not nearly as healthy as it could be otherwise. So we're doing a lot of that sort of chop and stir and like fresh ingredients and just three things, done, food.
You lost me at eating heart on the second date. That's about where I stopped listening to that whole
So second date, we want to do it right. You know, I want to impress her, and we want to like, so we follow the instructions and we're very careful. And then a week later, I was like, came home from the gym. I was ravenous and I just wanted meat, and all I had was a cow heart. And so what I did is I didn't prepare it. For any of you who are familiar with like cow hearts and preparing, there's like a silver film. There's all kinds of ventricles and things that need to be trimmed off. But I didn't do any of that. I just chopped it up into cubes, threw it into a spaghetti sauce, and like started eating. You know what? You need to trim your cow heart because it is inedible. You just can't. It's the first time I've ever like thrown up an entire dish onto my plate immediately after consuming it. It was repulsive.
All right, I got to do a poll here real quick. Gretchen, second date, cow heart, are you out?
I'm out.
Okay, Jennifer?
Definitely out.
Marissa?
Oh, I'm out.
All right, there you go. You found the right woman there, Timothy.
Well, I sure did, didn't I?
You know, they say there's somebody for everybody. You found the one in the world that wouldn't have been out on the second date cooking cow heart.
And then vomiting onto his plate.
I did not do that in front of my now wife. And yeah, no. You want to impress a girl when you're cooking cow heart.
Did she eat any of it?
Sure. No, she made it with me. We actually, our favorite dish was we made a hearty stew.
I don't really know if I want to hear any more of this, to be honest. I just ate, and I'm starting to lose it a little bit. Ladies, if you had one thing to say, we'll end on this. We'll go around to Robin. If you had one thing to say to your horsey husbands that you wish they would improve upon as horsey husbands, what would it be? And I'm going to start with Jennifer. No, we'll save Jennifer for last. Marissa. Feels like the newlywed game, doesn't it? Like old game, the newlywed game, asking that question. If you had one thing you would improve about...
get him to be more involved with cleaning his own tack, which he's getting better at, but, you know, cleaning his own tack and keeping some of that stuff to the level of which I like that kept up, but...
Hey, Scott, buddy, I'm with you because Jennifer busts my chops all the time for my dirty harnesses. So I'm right with you there, Scott. Marissa, I didn't hear a word you said. Gretchen, what's yours?
I don't know. I feel like a good middle-aged woman. Like, I'm kind of happy with the routine that we have settled into. And I'm sure he has many horsey things he would like to improve upon. But I don't know if I just, you know, have him good enough that he seems to brush off before he comes up to the barn and, you know, do the things that he needs to do and still enjoy the horses. It seems like a comfortable medium we have reached.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why you're still together. How many years?
17.
And do you still keep the whip inside the door, or you don't need that anymore?
Oh, yeah, we keep that handy.
Okay, good. Jennifer, what would you change about your husband?
Well, I'm pretty happy with his routine. Like I said, he's pretty clean. He picks up after himself. He's almost too obsessive about keeping everything up and away when it comes to the horses. So I really don't have any complaints with it.
I got to end on a nice note. Timothy, Jerry posted, Jerry, Jennifer's husband, the infamous Jerry, posted a note that his daughter had written, both your daughters had written, and yeah. I was teary-eyed at the end of the note. How old is she?
So she's 12.
12. I was teary-eyed at the end of that. That was absolutely beautiful, Jennifer. It really was.
Thank you.
But at first, when I was reading it, I got to the second page, and she hadn't mentioned you yet. She had gone through Jerry, she had gone through the brothers and sisters, and nothing about Mom. And I'm like, she's going to not say anything about Mom. And then it was the last page.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that, too.
But it was great. She saved you for last, the best for last.
They have a special relationship, they really do. She's the same one that you posted a recording, or the recording of her singing the national anthem. That's the same child.
Yeah, she was so good. Yeah, she was terrific. What a musical family, too.
Can I admit that my friend husbands who are not horse guys have kicked my husband out of their horse hubby group?
Well, yeah, he's not a horse hubby. You know what I always say? People say that about me all the time because I've owned more horses than Jennifer at times. But I draw the line at, I'm still a horse husband because I will not touch wounds of any kinds. I do not do sheath cleaning. I don't do any of that involves that gross stuff.
That's when it gets real. That's when you know.
I'm still in the
hook. Jerry refuses to do the sheath. He's planning on hiring somebody to do that.
Yeah, that's what a vet's for, in my opinion. I'll pay him to do
that. Wait, is the whole sheath? I always thought my husband was kidding. Like, that's really something that needs to be done.
That is something that needs to be done. Yes.
Yeah, actually, I had to point out to my husband that his mare required some attention the other day, too. And I'm not doing that for him.
Did you think he was kidding about the sheath cleaning, by the way?
What was that?
Go ahead.
He doesn't have to do sheath cleaning, but his mare is kind of disgusting back there.
Yeah, I don't do the sheath. I'm out.
Yeah, we have males, and Jerry refuses. I'm not going anywhere near it. We have a vet.
My wife loves picking the beans off those
Jennifer
things.
Jennifer does, too.
She thinks it's great. Yeah, and she loves, like, squeezing anal glands on dogs is another great pleasure for her weird stuff.
Well, she eats
heart. How did you luck out so? Yes. Like, heart-eating, sheath cleaning.
She's in a benner, so there you go.
Yeah. You tell me this is being recorded.
It is, and I'm keeping it in. Well, ladies, it's been so nice having you on. I really appreciate it. This was our first Upside Down Horse Husbands episode. So maybe we'll do it again sometime. I already have others that are lining up, and we have some twists with some of them, too. So we'll have to do this again at some point. And we really appreciate
it. You don't have to be a dude to be a horse hubby. You don't have to be a
That's
horse
right.
husband to be a horse hubby.
That's
it's been what I've said from the very beginning. So glad to have you all a part of this Horse Hubby episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys. Thanks a bunch. Okay. Cut there. Good job, guys. That was fun.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was fun, Timothy, to have the ladies on today. It was a good time, and we certainly got talking about things I had no idea we were going to be talking about, like heart and sheath cleaning, those kind of things. Now, let's talk a little bit about Elisa. We can't get off here without talking about your wife. What's going on in her life this year?
Yeah, I know it's going to be a really busy year, Glenn. We're going to be like two ships passing in the, I'm going to mix my metaphor, in the barn. Two horses passing at sea. She's got a burly and badminton on the eventing side,
oh,
so
wow.
She's going to continue to be competing at the highest possible level with Simply Priceless, a.k.a. Johnny.
Is she going to Rolex this year or not?
No, unfortunately, she really wanted to. And so what her originally, and I told her she was silly, which I shouldn't have. But what she really wanted to do, and which is something that I really respect, is that she sees how important it is. Like, there's a time conflict between Rolex and badminton as far as the amount of time that she needs to spend over there.
Yeah, it's like
so
a
it
week,
doesn't
isn't
make it?
It
possible for her to really do both.
No, you can't.
But what she really wanted to do is, because she works with the Mustangs, right? Fledge and Rune have been a really important part of Rolex for the past 3 years. Elisa has been doing the demonstrations, and they always draw huge crowds. Elisa loves them, and she loves using the opportunity to promote what Mustangs are really capable of. And so her original plan for a long time was, okay, she was going to travel to England, get Johnny settled, do some training, fly back, meet the Mustangs in Kentucky, do the demo for a couple of days, fly back to England, and then do badminton, and then come back home. You know, I really respect the desire to do it all. But, you know, you just can't. And with how busy Elisa is this year, you've got to really sort of make your priority. So she's very sad. And I like Rolex every year. And so it's too bad that we won't be able to be there. But she'll be doing that. But on the Mustang front, she's really continues to bring her horses up. And Win, her gray Mustang mare from the Mustang Million, is I think going to be competing up to the prelim level, I think is what Elisa is going to correct me if I'm wrong, but to continue to compete as a 3-day eventer. And what's really exciting about Wynn, and I think you've mentioned this on a previous show or two, is the fact that she's now become a briar. So she's part of this, what do they call it? The portrait model for briar this year. And every year, Breyer actually only creates 5 of these things.
This is incredible, by the way, Timothy. And we've had Breyer on many times on the shows. It is not easy to get your horse mated to a Breyer horse. There's lots of famous people who've wanted to have their horses Breyer horses, but it's up to Breyer. They decide. It's incredible. Congratulations to her.
Oh, thank you. And we've seen the models. They look beautiful. One of the biggest comments that we received, and we've shared it, and Eventing Nation is picking it up, and other people are picking it up. And there's a huge, I didn't realize what a huge fan following there is around Breyer horses.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the community, some of them are really interested about the horse. Others are just really fascinated by the models, and so they can tell you which mold was used and how long the mold has been and the nature of the paint and that kind of stuff. It's really fascinating. But what's really exciting and that you don't see in the box, and what we get asked about is, does she have the brand? Because she's a Mustang, right? In the box, you don't see the brand, but on the reverse side that you can't see, there is Wynn's brand, and Elisa went back and forth with Breyer several times, making sure that they got that brand right. So the level of accuracy that Breyer put into capturing the spirit of Wynn and the subtle details was just spectacular. So great company to work with and really exciting.
How surprised was she when Breyer contacted her?
Well, you know, it's kind of from what I understand, right? It's every little young horse girl's dream.
Oh, this is
like Breyers are just such a big part of.
Oh yeah. They'll have hundreds of them.
Yeah. So it's really special and it's a real honor. And we are going to do something, in an upcoming vlog as well. Featuring the big win and the little win. So that's going to be really exciting. So really exciting year for Elisa on both the eventing and the Mustang front. She's doing lots of clinics Almost every weekend that she's not competing, she's going to be doing a clinic. So check wallaceeventing.com for the most up-to-date clinic schedule. If Elise is in your area, we'd love to have you participate. Yeah, I know it's a big year. Really excited.
Terrific. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Timothy, once again for joining us. You can follow Timothy at horsehubby.com, of course, and on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/horsehubby. And Twitter has one, too. It's at horsehubby, right?
Absolutely right. We've had, since the new year, we've had three really great stories. One, a longer post on a kind of horse husband manifesto. Thinking through, again, what does it mean to be a horse husband and what is going to be the future direction of the website? So read that. Also, I posted something on equestrian data science. So what happens when you apply some rigorous data scientific and statistical techniques to readily available data? Okay, this is where I start talking nerdy with you. But what happens when you apply some of these techniques to FEI data? Who comes out on top? Who are the top 10 eventers in the world of 2016 and in the U.S. So read that story. And lastly, we have a new author on the site, Nick Lewis, who also writes about college sports, but he's written a really lovely post on what it means to become a good horse husband. So check out horsehubby.com for those stories and more in the coming weeks.
Sounds terrific. And of course, you can follow Horses in the Morning. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. If you want to hear past Horse Husband episodes, just search for Horse Husband. It'll bring up all the past episodes. And you can follow us again on our app, iOS or Android. Just go to the App Store and search Horse Radio Network. We have 12 shows now, going to be 13 next month, and they're all on the app. That's it for us. We'll be back again next month. We are always here the fourth Thursday of every month, and we'll see you again next month, everybody. Take care, Timothy.
Take care, Glenn.